to where that falls there in the timeline. And he was in captivity for a period of time. And down here we see Brother Ezekiel, okay, and the book that bears his name, okay? 5 years in to the captivity of Jehoiachin. Now, we also read a passage, I think over here in 2 Kings, that 2 Kings 24:18, about Mattaniah or Zedekiah that had been put as king instead, in his stead. And after that, the rebellion of Judah is going to be so great that Nebuchadnezzar is just going to put an end to it all. Okay? And so nation will cease to exist. You see here, end of the king. So this gives you an idea of the timeline. Does this fellow look familiar to you? I don't know if you can see that or not. Remember Brother Josiah? He was a good man in a troubled time. You know, there's always hope for a good man to come in a troubled time. And we've got elections coming up this year. Our president or the leaders of our nation indeed are not our salvation, but we need to pray and vote for a good man. And so pray that the Lord would raise up. He's able. He's able. And I like what one of the candidates said about some recent events that happened this weekend. You know, praise the Lord. And he said so, and we understand what he means, but then the media and the world, you know, make fun of him and saying that. Well, praise the Lord for delivering those five men that were held hostage essentially by Iran. I mean, praise the Lord for their release. And we don't agree with the policies of our president and what all he's done and doing. But Josiah is a testimony the Lord can raise up a righteous man even in troubled times. So pray the Lord will bless in our country. So let's see, what else did I want to show you about this? This work is really good that our brother's done. And some of this can be known. Some of it is harder to be for sure about. But we see other prophets here, Jeremiah and Habakkuk and Zephaniah. You know, some of these men's lives overlapped. And Haggai down here and Zechariah on down here. The time of their lives, Brother Daniel, and when he was also in the captivity. And so good things from the Word of God. And this is part of what I'm talking about when I mentioned about taking the Scripture and putting it together and its interconnect and having a layout. You know, are you able to go through the books of the Bible? Are you and I able to go through the books of the Bible? Well, Brother Jim, I don't know all the books of the Bible. Okay, well, that's a good place to start. Need to memorize the books of the Bible. Now kind of walk through, when you're by yourself walk through the books of the Bible. And what are the major themes? What do those books tell about? What's the theme of what that particular book, that minor prophet, that major prophet? Well, Brother Jim, I don't know. Okay, so you've got something before you there to pursue. All right, and find out for yourself. I mean, it's the good Word of God that's going to stand forever, and everything else is going to burn up. Get it together. And you know what? Getting that information and having understanding about that information will be a help to you in other things. Well, how can Noah and Ezekiel be a help to? It will be. It will be. It'll be a help to you in your life. The Lord can take it and use it. The Lord can take it and convict you about a thing. Yeah, that's not even really directly related to Ezekiel and what Ezekiel went through, but you can see the working of the Lord in the life of Ezekiel, and you know the Lord can bring that and bring conviction to you about some things. So know the Word of God and be a student of the Word of God and understand how it all connects together, and it will be nothing but a blessing for each and every one of us. Okay, so I think that's all I wanted to accomplish with that for now. So we'll let that be. If you will, turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And I'd mentioned when we left off last time, I'd mentioned about how this, you know, the significance of this book of Ezekiel. The message that I preached this morning is connected and related to this. We know this reference to the Son of Man is ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw this morning. And Jesus did become a man for our sakes to accomplish what was necessary for him to accomplish for our redemption and for the atonement for our sins and for our salvation. And when we look at this title, Son of Man, this book of Ezekiel stands out. And how the Lord used this as a name, not a general reference to men and mankind and children being born to men, as it is used in the scriptures, but he used it as a name for this man, Ezekiel. As I mentioned this morning, 93 times the Lord refers to Ezekiel as the Son of Man. And most of those in our King James translation are capitalized, meaning a name, okay? When we take a look at comparison in the scriptures, only in 13 other cases is the term Son of Man used in the scriptures, or 12 other cases where he's talking about mankind, okay? And the children of men is another way that's said, or the sons of men, okay? But that phrase, Son of Man, is used that way to refer to us 12 times in the Old Testament scriptures. 93 times it's used to refer to Ezekiel. The Lord does 93 times. So just a great number in the Old Testament where that's used referring to Ezekiel, and it's a name. And then one time in the book of Daniel, which we read this morning, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so there's that hint that we have in the Old Testament about it being Jesus, and Daniel saw that. And then one time, the Lord calls Daniel Son of Man, okay? And so one time for Daniel, 93 times for Ezekiel. And then when we go to the New Testament scriptures, from Matthew to Revelation, I meant to do this math here. Let me do it quickly, just for the sake of having it. Eighty-nine times that name Son of Man is used in the New Testament scriptures referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Ezekiel stands out. And that's a question that I've had for years. Why is it that Ezekiel stands out so? And the Lord, God Almighty, referring to him and giving him this name, Son of Man. Why is that? Well, I think we find it right here, okay? And I think this is a part of it. You're in chapter 2, and verse number 1, and he said unto me, Son of Man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. What had happened in verse 28 of chapter 1, and when I saw it, when he saw the glory of the Lord, when he saw the throne room of God, he said, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. I mean, Ezekiel, when he sees all that, and it's all shown to him about the splendor and the wonder and Jesus sitting up there on the throne, the form of a man sitting upon that throne, he falls on his face, just like our other brethren that do. Okay, that they're made weak in their flesh. Isaiah says, if I remember right, Isaiah says, I saw my corruption, and he just wilted. And well, it should be. I mean, that's how great the Lord is, and how bad off we are in this old natural condition, this old flesh that we find ourselves. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake, and he said unto me, Son of Man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Why is this distinction made with Ezekiel? Well, I think we have a hint of that in the beginning of the book in chapter 1. Look here. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, and in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. So we have a time that's listed here at the beginning of this chapter, right at the beginning of the chapter, right at the beginning of the first verse, a 30th year, fourth month and fifth day of the month that's listed here. And he says in verse 2, and in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. So Jehoiachin didn't reign long. So we know that that 30 years has nothing to do with his reign. And the captivity has been 5 years and some change of Jehoiachin's captivity. And we showed you how that was relative there on the timeline and Brother Wayne's work there, 6,000 year earth in the timeline that he created. So what is this 30 years and fourth month, and fifth day of the month? Well, I believe, and scholars have different opinions about it, but what I believe is this. I believe that Ezekiel is giving his age. He's giving his age here. He's telling us that he's 30 years old and 4 months, 30 years and 4 months and some odd days old. I think he's telling us this because, understand, it's the way of the Lord to use his children and to use saints and use their lives to be a witness, to be a prophecy. And I'm talking about all the children of God and different ones that we're all to be a witness. And we are all a witness one way or another. As a brother said, you are being a witness, whether it's a good or a bad witness is what's at hand. So when you pray, pray that you'll be a good witness, not just a witness, okay? I mean, it's good to pray in particular with our Lord, but I want to be a good witness, don't you? Because we are being a witness. That's being accomplished, but it may be a bad one, okay? And may it be a good witness. I want to be a good witness. We should desire that and pray that from our Lord. But of all the people that the Lord has used, and of all the 40 men that the Lord uses to bring his word, 40 men over the course of 1,600 years the Lord used and moved upon to bring his word, I cannot find a more stretched man than Ezekiel. And understand from the standpoint of a prophet, what this man is called to do is an embarrassment to the flesh. What this man is called to do is to be a shame. Now, Hosea, he had a hard thing to deal with, didn't he? He was told to go marry a prostitute. And that was difficult. And he had children by her. And so understand how the Lord uses these men and the calling. You think about Moses. I mean, the Lord called him and worked mightily in his life, and he bore a burden. But Brother Ezekiel is dragged through shame. I say dragged. He's taken through shame and embarrassment and humiliation because the witness that the Lord is going to put forward to Israel about her own condition, the Lord's going to use this man to convey that. Why would the Lord call him Son of Man? Well, I think what the Lord's telling us is that the only one greater that bore shame more than Ezekiel is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you evaluate things yourself and consider the scriptures and take a walk through the scriptures and see what the Lord called our other brethren in the scriptures and the Lord used to bring the scriptures to us. And you evaluate their lives. And if you see something different than that, I want to know. But in just kind of doing a survey in my own time, and you know, or doing a survey of these men myself, I think that's what we're seeing here. I think that the Lord called Ezekiel in the same time of life that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ started. Because the Lord Jesus was 30 years old. And you think about the shame and the ridicule that the Lord Jesus Christ bore. And the thing is, you take all of our sin laid upon Christ, he being perfectly innocent. It was a shameful thing for our Lord to be treated and doubted and mocked and criticized. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, and the scribes continually trying to catch him in his words. There should have been no one trying to catch Jesus in his words. When he spoke, that should have just been the end of it, and that was it. It was shameful. Our Lord came poor. And he's the farthest one from poor. And he bore our infirmities, the one that never had an infirmity himself, from eternity. For him to become subject. Those words that we see in the scriptures, that he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. It never should have been. And indeed, for the Creator to come and bear the shame and ridicule in that, it was indeed a much lower step than Ezekiel. But I think Brother Ezekiel represents that of what the Lord called a man to do, to be a witness to the Lord's nation and to you and me here today. And so I think that's what we're being shown here. And of all men, and, you know, in a sense, no man can compare to Jesus Christ. Understand that. But of all the men that the Lord called, I think Brother Ezekiel is the one that reminded the Father, if you will, the most of his son. Now, you know, Joseph represents and is a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? He is. And Joseph bore a few things for a few years, quite a few years. But was it what Ezekiel bore? We're going to read and we're going to find out and see how that is. And so I submit that to you and I'm interested in your thoughts about it. In Ezekiel chapter 2, we read, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." You know, Jesus, Hebrews tells us that he learned submission. Why should God the Son be subject to anybody? But he learned submission as a man. He tells over and over again, "I didn't come to do what I wanted to do, but what the Father gave me to do." You know, and you and I have trouble submitting. Lord, help us. "Stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. And they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day." The Lord tells very plainly what's happened. They're rebellious folk. They're my rebellious people. And you know what? I'm going to take your life. I'm going to make your life inconvenient to carry a word unto them. Wasn't that what Jesus faced when he came? When he wept over Jerusalem, when he cursed the fig tree, as we've seen recently, and I think it's indicative of what the Lord Jesus was telling about what he was doing with Israel and cursing Israel. When he had made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and the elders and the chief priests and all those religious leaders of the day, they rejected him. If there's anybody that the red carpet should have been rolled out for is the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead, it was clothes upon a foal of an ass and palm branches strode around on the road. And he said, it goes on to say here, "And he said unto me, Son of man," verse 3, "I send thee to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." So the Lord's going to take this man and he's going to send him to be a witness to them. But it's very interesting how that all starts out, and we'll see that. "Thus saith the Lord God." You know, isn't it interesting? They have rebelled. It's cost them the captivity. It's cost the fall of Israel. It's going to cost the fall of Judah, the two tribes that remain. And yet the Lord's going to send somebody to them. You and I would have quit a long time ago, wouldn't we? And the thing is about this, he's going to send somebody to them. And you know what? It's going to be of little effect. But the Lord goes ahead and does. You know, we're called as the Lord's people and the Lord's church to preach the gospel to dead men. And you know what's right to do that? Because our Lord has told us to. And you know what he's promised he'll do? He'll take it and use it. And you know, in this book, that same thing is told about. There'll always be a remnant. Isaiah decried the same thing. Lord, who'th believed our report? There'll be a remnant. The Lord will work. But even in this terrible state that they're in, the Lord yet sends another man. He sends another man. They are impudent children and stiff-hearted, verse 4, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. He said, I'm going to make such a distinction with you, Ezekiel, there'll be no doubt that you're my prophet. And I think that's key that we understand. The Lord Jesus was a prophet and is a prophet, isn't he? I mean, he's the prophet of prophets, isn't he? And the Lord used his life, the Father, if you will, used his life to bring a word yet unto a rebellious people. Remember, Jesus died for us before we even knew about him. Amen. Talking about proactive. Our Lord is proactive. They'll know. And thou, verse number 6, again, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. Boy, there's a fine, I said that recently about something else. That's a real fine job description and pitch to come work for us. How'd like your potential employer to say, not that the Lord employs him, but how would you like that? He said, well, you expect thorns and briars. It's going to be very hard and very difficult. Though thorns and briars be with thee. Who wants to have to do with thorns and briars? Be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Don't get tore up about it. Don't get wowed by it, their looks, when you speak to them and they say, you're talking to us. Or they start frowning and grousing. Be not dismayed. Don't be dismayed. Though they be a rebellious house, I am sending you to them. Verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. You know, the Lord knows that. But, you know, look at the long-suffering of the Lord. And again, I find it difficult to feel that I can convey the point. And understand, the Lord's going to take a man's life and use it to send a warning to others. You know, this just isn't an easy street for Ezekiel. The Lord takes the lives of our brethren that are missionaries, and those domestically, but those to foreign lands, and takes and uses their lives up for the sake of others, that they might be reached by the Lord and by the gospel. That's, tell you what, it takes the work of the Spirit and conviction from the Lord to be used like that. You reckon Ezekiel was convicted? I say Brother Ezekiel would tell us he was arrested. Amen? He was arrested. Verse 8, but thou, son of man, hear that over and over again. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Son, don't you be rebellious. I'm sending you a rebellious people. It would be easy for it to rub off. It would be easy for you to just say quit and fooey on it and I'm done with it. But don't you be rebellious. You eat what I give you. You eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book. That book is to Israel. That book is to Israel. That book is to us. Lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings, mourning and woe. Not a real pleasant outlook, huh? Everything our Lord Jesus Christ faced was not a pleasant outlook. It was only the accomplishment of it that would bring the blessing. And praise be to God, He did. We come to chapter 3, and the scripture says, "Moreover, He said unto me, Son of man," there it is again, "eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak into the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and He caused me to eat that roll. And He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thou thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." And you know what? That's what the Word of God will do for us. And you know, we need to be filled with the Word and the Spirit. You know, He said that the roll that He ate was sweet, but it was full of lamentations and mourning and woe. Isn't that what He said? He evidently was able to look over it. He saw as it was spread out before Him. He said it was written without and within. It was written on both sides of what it was made of. And these things that were written within it were not pleasant. But you know what? We sing a song, you know, that the frowning countenance of the Lord hides a joyful smile or something, the way that verse goes. You know, the Lord tells the truth about wickedness and sin. And it's only by knowing and hearing the truth that a person can see that they're a sinner and know that they need a Savior and understand that they need a Savior, and puts them then in a position to see the gloriousness of the Savior, that they can be saved by Him. You know, the truth may be hard and may be terrible, but the truth needs to be known for there to be a help and a blessing. And you know what? Can we say, well, Israel really doesn't need this? Oh, Israel needs this. They need to hear the mourning and the lamentation and the woe. I wonder about the attitude of those there around Ezekiel, over there by the river Chebar and in that region where we looked at last time, showed you on the map in that region, modern-day Iran, and that of the land of the Chaldeans, Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees. I wonder what the attitude was of the captives. Wonder if they were moaning and groaning about their state, thinking that they're being treated unfairly, that this was wrong, that this came upon them, that this was a bad failure on the part of their leadership to not protect them better with their own army and all that, not even seeing that their rebellion and the rebellion of their fathers have brought them to this state. That's probably the case. He says he eats this roll in his mouth. It was honey for sweetness. Verse 4, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel." Interesting that the Lord would mention that here. You know, the church here has sponsored brethren that have gone to other lands where they spoke a totally different language than what we speak in English. And you know, the Lord blessed and gave them utterance and understanding of those languages, those tongues, where they were able to go there and be profitable witnesses for the Lord, and sinners were saved of different nations. And it's interesting that the Lord would mention that here, because He's telling him, He said, they want to understand. Anytime you speak, they're going to understand, because you speak the same language. You're from the same place. That they're going to get it. He says, I'm not sending you to them. He says, listen to this. "Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee." The Lord knows, doesn't He, Brother Doug? You know, Brother Doug brought that out about how it is that the Lord knows the other things that would happen if He didn't take and make it go this way. He said, Ezekiel, if I'd have sent you to a people of a strange language, they would hear you. But this house isn't going to hear you. You know, we need to get understanding about our service and our calling. Success is not a result of harvest. And we like to see the result of harvest. We like to see people saved. And I pray that the Lord saves everybody in the house. That's what I desire, and everybody we meet. But we're called to do what we're called to do. Brother Ezekiel's called to do what he's called to do because the Lord said so. And when we've obeyed, we've been successful in the Lord. And he said, the Lord tells him, he says, I've not sent you to a people of strange speech but in a hard language, but to the house of Israel. He knows that, and the Lord tells him, if I'd have sent you to otherwise to people of a strange speech and a hard language, he said, they would have heard thee. But the house of Israel, verse 7, will not hearken unto thee, Ezekiel, for they will not hearken unto me. They won't listen to me. They won't listen to you. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And you know what? The Lord will prepare those that he sends, won't he? He'll prepare. The Lord, the Lord doesn't call the prepared, he prepares the called. The calling is what a man needs to know about being called to the ministry and to preach and to pastor. The Lord calls a man. He'll prepare one that he sends. And he'll prepare us to witness if you'll avail yourself to the Word of God and the teaching from the Word of God. He will prepare us. And he told Brother Ezekiel that he would prepare him. Moreover, he said unto me, verse 10, Son of man, all my words that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, all the way down inside of you, Ezekiel, and go and get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, you go and tell them. You go and tell them. You don't worry about what they do. You go and tell them. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. And I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of the great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. I think we see here, best I can understand, Brother Ezekiel's dealing with his flesh, isn't he? Truly the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's, if you're told you're going to have a hard time, it's going to be terrible, you're not going to be heard, thorns and briars are going to be at hand. For the mission that I'm calling you to, I've got to prepare your forehead like an adamant. And I'm warning you, don't worry about what they say to you. Don't worry about the way they look at you. Though you got to go and wade through thorns and briars, though you understand you're going to be sent to a people that's just flat not going to listen to you. Anybody else in the world would listen to you the way I'm preparing you, but this hard-hearted people is not. You know, you'd really get all riled up and cheery about that, wouldn't you? And I wonder about this verse. I don't know if it means that. But the best I can understand is that indeed his flesh dreaded it. But he knew he was called of the Lord to do it. And there's no resisting the Lord. There's no resisting the Lord. There's no resisting the call of the Lord. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness. I think we understand what bitterness is. I mean, when you're bitter, when you and I get bitter, and we need to avoid being bitter, but when we're bitter, it's bad. We just don't like a thing. And then the heat of my spirit, getting riled, getting troubled and tore up in a bad way, just not liking it. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. He said, "But I, it's what I'm going to do." But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. You know, can we indeed say that the hand of the Lord was upon the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, yeah. I mean, Isaiah prophesied, he's got it, all six spirits of God. And Jesus himself says that the seven spirits of God are there before his throne as he appears unto John on the Isle of Patmos. Go and read it. He's got it all. And he sends to his church the seventh, I believe, which is the work of the Comforter in us here at Olmsted Baptist Church and other of the Lord's churches. We'll read a few more verses here and we'll close. Now listen to what the Lord has called Brother Ezekiel to do. He sent him to this people. He says, "What I say, you say, thus saith the Lord. Don't you hold back." He's going to talk to him some about that. He's going to send them and he says, "Speak unto them." He said, "I'm going to make it known that a prophet has been amongst Israel. There'll be no doubt that you're my man." There'll be no doubt. "Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. He sees again at the end of the Lord giving him his charge and what he's calling him to do, what we saw last time in chapter 1 about the glory of the Lord and this voice that spoke to him, and it was no doubt the Lord speaking to him. He heard the wings fluttering together of those beasts that are there under the throne of God, and those four beasts that have those four faces and a multitude, a number of wings apiece. And there was no doubt that was coming straight from the throne room of God. He heard their wings flapping against one another. That's what he said. He saw that glory of the Lord again and knew that it was there. And he comes, the Spirit lifts him up, the hand of the Lord is upon him, and then he comes to those that are at this place, Tel Abib, and were there by Chebar, and he sat, I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. I've never had to sit in one place for a multitude of days. Have you? I don't know. I never have. Can you imagine me coming in here and sitting here on this pew for 7 days? I mean, when you all would load up to leave and I got the look of astonishment on my face, or y'all would say, "What's wrong with him? What's going on? What's going on, Brother Jim? You're going to go home. These people are going to go home eventually. They're going to go and eat. Ezekiel's still out there?" Yeah. "Come on, Ezekiel, let's go and go on here to your place and go to bed." He won't move. "Well, I don't know what to do." Take something out there and cover him up. Is he out there this morning? He's still there. He hadn't moved muscle. He hadn't moved from that place. Still got that look on his face? Yeah. Day two. Day three. About day five, what do you think? He's still there. Still got that look on. Is he alive? Oh yeah, he's alive. He's breathing. He's blinking. Has that same look on his face. Day six. Day seven. And all this is to be a witness to Israel. is to be a witness to those that are of the captives of Israel there in the Ur of the Chaldees. Can you imagine the Lord taking a week of your life like that? I guarantee all of us say, better Ezekiel than me. But the Lord took this man. Just like the Lord took Jesus Christ and made him a sacrifice for us. He took this man to be a witness unto this people. We'll stop right here for now, and we'll pick it up here next time, verse number 16 of chapter 3. You pray that the Lord will help and bless, and may the Lord help us and speak to us about what he wants us to understand and see in this, and may the Lord help and bless in it.